The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. God be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. So today, we see Jesus in action. We're reading from the section of Mark's first chapter that gives us sort of a day in the life of Jesus. And it was quite a day. The dramatic expulsion of the demon in the Capernaum village was how it started, and then entering Simon's house, curing his mother-in-law. Notice that he takes her by the hand and brings her to her feet so that she can be of service. What does sickness do to us? What does pandemic do to us? It draws us in and around ourselves. Once she is cured, Simon's mother-in-law commences to serve, to be for the other. The entire town comes to his door. He spends the whole evening curing, presumably hundreds who were variously afflicted. Mark presents Jesus as a healer, which just means the bearer of the health. In him, divinity and humanity have come together. In him, the divine life and the divine power are breaking through. God's deepest intention appears. What God plans for us in the kingdom to come is now historically anticipated. But we, as human beings, are often weak and fragile. And no matter how strong we are or how strong we think we are not super beings. No matter how high a position we have or status that we have in society, we most certainly are not indispensable. We are mere flesh and blood, and we can succumb to illness, depression, and disease. I'm sure we've all experienced some or all of those things. And emotionally, we can be discouraged from failures and hurt and suffer from arguments and criticisms. Some days we're up and about. Other days we are down and out. And we are also aware that we can be here today and suddenly gone tomorrow. Such is the fragility and unpredictability of life. And we also lament that happiness, which is generally rather short-lived, while sadness can be very prolonged. So in the first reading, what Job said may express some of our thoughts. Is not our life on earth nothing more than pressed service, our time no better than hired drudgery? Like the slave sighing for the shade, or the worker with no thoughts but her or his wages. That reflection could possibly express the stark and blunt reality of our lives. And if that's not pessimistic enough, there is something else that we have to face and struggle with. The scourge of sickness and disease. There is no guarantee that we will not succumb to anything from aches and pains, although I'm sure nobody here experiences those. To health issues and life-threatening diseases. All this sounds very dark and depressive, I know, but that's part of the reality of our life. There is a great big however, however. The gospel message also reminds us of the other reality of life. The gospel gives us hope in the face of this dark and gloomy reality of life. Jesus went about his ministry of healing and deliverance. He cured Peter's mother-in-law of her fever and those who were sick and possessed by devils. Jesus cured many who were suffering from diseases of one kind or another, and he also casts out many demons. The gospel shows the human need for comfort and healing being fulfilled by divine power and love. What about our own modern-day demons? They are perhaps different than the dramatic ones of Scripture, but they need expulsion just the same. We have our modern-day demons. So how does this happen? Well, through those who offer medical attention, love, comfort, kindness, succor. I see this happening in this building every single day. These beautiful women are sisters. The kindness they express to one another is absolutely beautiful, and it happens every day sincerely. And I am so proud to be able to live among them. But the gospel also tells us a deeper aspect of life, and it's the power of prayer over the reality of human need. Jesus went off early in the morning to a lonely place to pray. And it's in prayer that Jesus is empowered and strengthened in his mission of proclaiming the good news through healing and deliverance. And that may remind us of the expression that says, life is fragile, handle with prayer. It may seem cliche or trite, but there is great power in the simplicity of that statement. When you leave here after Mass on Sundays, don't you feel buoyed up? Because we've been praying together. When the fragility of life is exposed by sickness and disease, then prayer is the remedy and the necessity. I've heard many things through the sacrament of reconciliation, but I've never heard anyone say that they didn't feel good after they had prayed. Makes sense. We keep doing it. And so, the redemptive suffering that Jesus endures for us is what we see on the cross. And Jesus calls us to carry our cross and follow him as disciples. When we face our cross of sickness, disease, or suffering, we too must follow what Jesus did, probably and especially when we don't feel like it. Especially when we don't feel like it. Take a deep breath and do it anyway. Just as Jesus went off early in the morning to pray, we too must take that time for ourselves. That divine power will help us to understand what is redemptive suffering. Whenever I anoint anyone, the great gift of the anointing of the sick is about just that. That through the person's suffering, they are a witness to the cross. That divine power will also give us hope that with our prayer, our suffering will lead us to salvation. So if these reminders ring true for you at all, take heed of one of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, tells us. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending.